One result of the recent terrorist attacks and concern over personal safety has been a growing interest in wilderness survival techniques. Schools that teach people how to get by on their own in remote and forbidding terrain say business has been booming since September 11th. NPR's Jim Zaroli visited one such school and filed this report.
Any guess of that?
In a clearing deep within the Pine Barrens, a rugged tract of protected land in southern New Jersey, about six or seven people are hard at work with shovels and saws. They've spent this drizzly morning digging holes the size of cemetery plots. Once they're dug, they'll lay wood over the top, then cover the wood with grass and twigs. Standing inside one of the holes, Martika Gallagher is racing to get the work finished. She has to spend the next few nights sleeping in one of these holes.
And on top of this will go some debris and then dirt for insulation. And we also don't want you don't want to just put dirt on top of it because it'll fall down through on you. Every time you turn over, you'll have dirt in your face.
Gallagher is a student at the Tom Brown Tracking School, which over the years has trained some 30,000 people in wilderness survival. Students come to the program often knowing little about the outdoors. Within a week, they know how to light a fire without matches, how to forage for food, even how to make their own clothes from plant and tree fibers. The most advanced students are sent into the Montana wilderness in the dead of winter for several days with only the clothes they're wearing. The school was founded 23 years ago by Tom Brown, who says he learned the art of tracking and survival from the Apache grandfather of one of his boyhood friends. Over the years, Brown has written 16 books on the subjects, and he has often used his tracking skills to help police catch criminals. A trim, gray-haired 52-year-old with a military demeanor, Brown sits inside a large tent at the school's campsite. Survival, he says, is a subject that is sometimes misunderstood.
You know, today survival has a bad name, you know, it used to, where they think, oh, a survivalist, it's a gun-carrying person, you know, and it's none of those things. We're primitive. In other words, I teach a person to go back into the woods with nothing and from the landscape find their own clothing, food, build fire, shelter, whatever.
The school attracts a cross-section of people, bird watchers and backpackers, scientists and law enforcement officials. Every year, a fair number of business people show up who hope wilderness survival will provide a kind of psychological conditioning that will give them an edge in their careers.
There are these two slots here, too.
Okay.
There are also people like Ginger Krantz, who stands in the rain sawing a dead tree branch, the hood of her windbreaker pulled over her head. Krantz began coming to the school 7 years ago. After living for a long time in Manhattan, she says, she wanted a stronger connection to nature.
Well, originally, reading some of Tom's books, it just really spoke to my heart. There's a lot more to the school than just survival. It really is a entire philosophy of living close to the earth, and to me that's just something I love.
But these days, Tom Brown says, the school is also attracting a different kind of student. Since September 11th, the school has received many calls and letters from frightened people wanting to learn survival skills, people who fear a kind of general societal meltdown is underway. Brown says that always happens after a major disaster.
Some of them want advice. Some of them are very frightened. They get in a survival situation. They don't know what to do, you know, especially in lieu of terrorist attacks. They just feel that somehow I have the answers because survival is what I do.
In an era of suicidal hijackers and anthrax-laced letters, knowing how to make your own clothes from plant fibers might seem to be of questionable utility, especially for city and suburban dwellers. But Brown insists there is much his school can offer the fearful. Learning to survive in the wild, he says, means becoming more observant, being able to detect a rabbit's trail or the cry of an owl. In times that demand extra vigilance, he says, those kinds of skills are very valuable. Moreover, he says, once you understand the principles of survival, you can often apply them in more urban settings.
If your house runs out of heat, out of power, and you're faced with killing temperatures, using the same principle, you get everybody in the same room with without many windows, and you build a mattress shelter. where we field tested mattress shelters where the house has been 10 degrees and put four people in a box of mattresses and it's been 82 degrees. It's amazing how to get water out of your house. Like, people don't know to drain the hot water heater. You know, some of them have 30 gallons in them, some 80 gallons in them.
And knowing skills like these can give a person a greater sense of security, a feeling of being prepared for adversity, even if you never have to use them, says Martiga Gallagher.
I remember right before the Millennium New Year, went to the grocery store for something basic, and I saw all these people like buying gallons and gallons of water and all this other stuff, and I just, all of a sudden I realized, I was like, oh, I don't even have to do that, because I know how to do this without having to go to the store and buy it. So it felt good.
Many at the school agree. They say people are conditioned to see the wilderness as a threatening place, a place of childhood nightmares. But it can also become something of a sanctuary, especially at a time when cities face so many new threats of their own. Still, reality has a way of intruding, even on those who are best prepared for it. School officials noted this week that Christopher Stonecipher had attended classes at the school several times in recent years. An Army Ranger, Stonecipher died in a helicopter crash in Pakistan on October 19th, one of the first military casualties in the war in Afghanistan. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, in the New Jersey Pine Barrens.